just have those moments. I know it's shocking to you that I have those moments. But when I was studying for this message, I marked my study Bible instead of the Bible I used to bring messages. And I do it every so often. And I looked and said, I didn't mark the passages. It's in the other. Why would you mark the wrong? How do you do that over time? And it's like, so I had to grab a pen. Thanks for helping me. And I marked those passages I want to read out here. It's like, well, I do it constantly. I have all these Bibles, and generally, it'll be the New American Standard, New International Version, and the New Living Translation, and the New King James, and you read it in all of those. And then, oh, that's what I do. And I say, which one of these flows? Which one makes this as clear as I can bring it up here just with the passage? And then I'll mark it. Say, okay, let me underline that in red so I can go right to it. Except the problem is, those are study Bibles, and then I have these that I bring up here. And I opened it up. It's like, I did it again. How many times do you have to keep doing the same thing until you just finally say, what is it? Does anybody ever do this kind of stuff? Oh, okay. Oh, well, thank you. I feel so much better now. You know, it's like, did we never learn? It's just sooner or later, and it's like, you know, it's like this is a very intense message anyway. It's kind of complicated, and I marked the passages in the wrong. So this will be the new, I don't know, what is this? The New International Version, thank you very much. Now, I knew I had it written down there, but it's concerning and as I mentioned earlier, the Holy Spirit, wisdom and understanding. And it's like, say what? Because just studying all this, I have some of these outlines I've been working on for some weeks now. And this particular one, I was putting back. And I go back and make notes and put it back. Why? Because it seemed difficult. I'm just like, I don't want to bring a difficult message. Not one hard to hear, one hard to deliver. Hard to teach on. Because when you start looking at the Holy Spirit, and I won't be, and it's first of all, it's like, well, you don't have even enough time to talk about the Holy Spirit is so involved, much less add wisdom and understanding to the whole mix. But so let me give you a couple of verses, or not verses, passages, and then we'll just jump into this thing and see what we can do and how it applies, because a big thing is always, don't just tell what it says, how do we do it? And that's where we always try to be practical with this. But in Romans 8, 15 through 16, let's just look at this. He said, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave to fear. Has everybody got looking at this? Okay. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. Okay. I know it's written in masculine form, but it means the spirit of sonship, daughtership, everything's kind of leans. But it means you've received this spirit of being his child. And what it said, you don't have to be afraid. You're not going to be kicked out. It's not what's going to happen. You were out before you accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You repented of your sins. You asked him into your heart. And he said, so I give you the spirit here, being my child. That's what it boils down to. No matter, you know, the sonship, daughtership, I give you that spirit. And then he said, that's my Holy Spirit in you, who says, hey, I know you just cussed at somebody. No, you just lost your temper. I know you just threw a fit and yelled and threw something. But you're my child, and children do those things. And sometimes the Lord will chastise us. He'll allow things to happen to get our attention. But, you know, let's face it. I love you. So many of you, you know, you've had to deal with children, grandchildren, and you didn't throw them out even though you thought you wanted to. You thought, if I can just drop them off at the store and say, go in and get something, and they come out and I won't be there. But, you know, you think, really, nobody wants to admit it, but we think all of these things. Kid, go play in the street. I mean, you know, really, it crosses your mind, and then you get over your temper spell and all that kind of thing. But the bottom line is, you don't do it and you don't kick them out. We can't say God ever feels that way, but he's, you know, he does become distressed with us, if you want to put it that way, hurt with us. We break his heart. We do all those things. We'd totally disobey. We run off and do something that's just so outrageous, and it's like, and God's saying, you know, right now, I know you've broken my word, but I can't break my word to you, and that is, I'll never leave you, forsake you, and I'm not, you're sealed in the Holy Spirit, so I'm not going to take it away. So you are his children, whether you like it or not at times. Is there ever times you just kind of wish for just two or three moments or just a day that you weren't his child? And your first response might be, certainly, well, of course I don't think that. But then we turn around and say, yeah, once in a while I'd like to just have a good sin binge. And I just would like, you know, and then take me back in. Don't all children do that? I want to steal the cookie and then I want to come back and be okay. Sure, that's human nature. It's not permission to do it. We just do it. And we've all, most of us have done it, right? We talk ourselves into the fact that I think I deserve this. And it's like, we know better, but, you know, I just deserve to just go tie one on. And that's what we used to call it. Boy, they're tying a big one on this time. Yeah, and it just, in an alcoholic stupor for days and whatever it is. And it's like, and you come out of it and you feel all convicted and everything. And did you disobey? Yes. Did you sin? Yes. Did you just totally rebel? You chose to rebel. You did it on purpose. Yes. And what does he say? He has given us the spirit of sonship, daughtership. He still claims us, just like you claim your own. And with that, and by him, we cry, Abba, Father. By the Holy Spirit, we cry, Abba. The word Abba means dear, precious. So, dear, precious Father. There it is. It never goes away. Regardless of what you've done, regardless of what you might be thinking you want to do right now, God is still giving you the spirit of sonship. If you've asked Jesus in your heart, repented of your sins, you ask him in your heart, and you really confess and repent of your sins, you've got it. You're on there. And as rebellious as you might have been or you're thinking about being, is anybody just angry right now and you just want to rebel? Would you like to go and do some things to certain people somewhere? You want to march on Washington? Okay. Or wherever. You know? Of course you do. We have those moments. Now, he's not taking away that, and he's going to tell you while you're on your way to do whatever ugly thing it is you're thinking of doing. He's going to say, I'm your father, dear father, and that's conviction. He's going to convict you, saying, you're doing this against me. You're doing this against the nature I'm giving you. You're doing this against the Holy Spirit, and you're doing it against all the wisdom and understanding that I give you. But I'm not going to throw you out. And so, Abba, Father, we cry Abba, Father, through the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit himself, listen to this, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. See that? How many of you, you've done things, we've all said and done things, what happened when you did it as a Christian? You felt bad. You got convicted. You knew this wasn't right, and you began to talk to God about it, and God, I'm sorry, forgive me. That's him saying, I don't want you doing this, but it's not him chastising you, he's saying, what? He's saying to you, you know, I am your father. You're my child. You've disobeyed. But I'm not going to beat you into submission. I'm going to love you into submission. I'm going to love you to myself. Jesus' death and resurrection, that death on the cross, was an act of God's love for you and me. How much does he love us? This much. He died on the cross to say, I love you. And so for God, anyone to do that, they're sure not going to throw you out because for misdemeanor, I mean, we had a felony in front of us. We had a murder rap in front of us. And he goes and dies for murderers, adulterers, liars and thieves, con artists, fakers. And there he does it for us out of love, not because we earned it, not because we're good enough. Okay, we know this, but we need to hear it again. And so there you are, and then I need to go to John 14, and that's the part I marked in another Bible, so finally got it in here too, so I can read it. And this is in John 14, verse 25, 26. There's so many. I had so many verses, and We have to condense them. There's food on the table. I got to, you know, good to do this with a time frame. And so all this, he said, Jesus speaking, he said, all this I've spoken while still with you. So he's teaching them all these things about his being here, how he wants them to love each other, and he's going away and coming back. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will what? He will teach you all things. So there you go. Now he's going to the Holy Spirit's one of his many roles, jobs, assignments, is to teach you all things. What's all thing? Everything Jesus taught in these scriptures, the whole Bible. The Holy Spirit's here to teach you this word. You gotta let him. You gotta open your heart to him. You're gonna have to read it for him to say, here's what it means in your heart and help you and give you understanding. He'll teach you. Some people deal with the Holy Spirit, you know, the same way, you know, they say, I've had people say, I don't have to study the Bible, the Holy Spirit will tell it to me. Okay, let's just take that same thing. Don't go to school and learn math. Don't go to school, learn to read. What do you go to school for? To learn the basics. And then you pick up more on your own, right? Holy Spirit is that, he's taking you to God's school. You go into script, you go into the Word and you study it and you read it and you pray. And the Holy Spirit begins to teach you, give you understanding what this means and how it applies to your life and how he wants you to apply it to others. You can't just sit there and say, God's going to give me the Word. That's not what he said. He will teach you how? By you going to his school. The school of study and prayer and meditation. Everybody with me? Good so far? I hope so, because it gets a little messier as we go along. And so there we are with this thing. Oh, wow, I like that. Man. Got a different ring. And then he said, he'll teach you all things, and he'll do something else. He will remind you of everything I've said. So he's going to teach you, and he's going to keep you remembering. So right when you don't want him to remind you of something, because you just want to get all down dirty and nasty, he's going to remind you of the words of Jesus. Does that ever aggravate you? It's like, could you wait just a moment and remind me after I commit this act? Let me tell this person off and then remind me. And oh no, he's not going to do that. He's going to remind you before you do it, because then you do it, you've sinned, you've messed up. So he said, I will remind you of everything, and then if you want to read the rest of it, please do, because peace I leave with you, and we need that peace, and peace I give to you, and so forth. Read this whole thing before and after. It's wonderful. So you get the idea. And then the Holy Spirit, it says, if you read on, he's our comforter, our counselor, our encourager. And he seals us. He puts God's seal on us that can never be taken away, that we belong to him. And he's our guarantee of salvation and entrance into heaven through our faith in Jesus Christ. So we have all this. So let's work. Let's just focus a minute on the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's condensed. This had to be drawn down, so we can get it here on Sunday morning. Probably need to do two or three Sundays on this, but I was trying to work this in a two-tone type, two setting, so we'll try. So here's what the Holy Spirit does. He teaches. He guides. He encourages. He seals. Now, I've already said this, but I just want to give it to you in case you're making a mental list or you're writing it down. He does all this. He also coaches us, and he also convicts us when we blow it. And he reveals all of God's truth, but there's a catch there. As long as we let him. And we don't grieve him. What does the scripture say? You can read this. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And the question comes up, how do I grieve him then? What is it that grieves the Holy Spirit? Okay, let's lay it out there. What will grieve the Holy Spirit? I've had people say, well, you commit sin, you grieve him. What grieves him more than anything is when you commit sin and refuse to take responsibility and admit it. That grieves the Holy Spirit because it grieves God. Do not ever start making the habit, and if you're doing it, give it to God and it must cease. Don't make the habit of blaming others, blaming life, or even blaming God for the sin you've committed. because that's passing off your own personal responsibility, and you will grieve the Holy Spirit, and you will not be receiving the understanding, the teaching, the coaching, the encouraging, because you've grieved Him. Don't, even though someone else really did something to, yes, we lose it at times. I get it. Things happen and we blow. But take responsibility for it. That's what He's saying. And when you don't, the minute you don't and don't immediately confess it, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Now, if you grieve the Holy Spirit, what happens? Your fellowship with God, not your relationship, your fellowship, your daily walking communion with the Lord is torn at, starts pulling apart. He's not ousting you as His child, but you're tearing up your communication. You ever sit there with a guilty conscience and tried to talk to someone else when you said something about them behind their back, and now you're trying to act like they're your best friend? I know nobody's done it here, but you know people in other churches have. And it just won't work. And so, you know, God never moves from us, but we do things and don't confess it, and we move from Him. That's what used to be called falling out of grace, out of fellowship. And it was because God's still here. We've already read. We know He's not going to kick us out. We kick ourselves out. We wander off, and we start doing all these things to cover up. You know, isn't it amazing? If you don't confess one sin, you commit another one to cover up for that. It's like a lie. You ever tell lies? You ever told lies, you know, in your life, especially when you're younger? You ever told a lie and then don't remember what the lie was, so you try to make another lie, but you're worried to death that you don't remember the lie you told? And you hope you don't run into that person because you don't remember what lie you said to them. And it keeps you away from them. Same kind of thing happens with God. So we got that. So He teaches, the Holy Spirit does all this, and He'll reveal all of God's truth. He opens your heart and your mind to understand Jesus Christ. That's how bad you need Him. I need Him. He opens your heart and mind to understand Jesus. He helps you to follow and obey and confess and receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and have fellowship with Him and pray and serve Him and love Him. And the Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit will always put Jesus Christ first. Always. And His Word, His will. And He will work to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And you can read about that in Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. There is the fruit of the Spirit, then there's producing fruit. There's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, faith, hope, love, joy, peace, you know, patience, long-suffering, all of this. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5. But then there's bearing fruit, and that's helping other people. That's witnessing to people. That's doing whatever your spiritual gifts, whatever God put you here to do, to help other people, to glorify Him, to bring them to Christ. Okay? And you use your spiritual gifts for that, and then you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know what the fruit of the Holy Spirit really does for us? It makes you a really nice person. It makes you a loving person, a gentle person, a person that's easy for people to get along with, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I mean, faith, hope, love, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. I know I'm speaking to the choir here. Nobody has a problem with self-control in this room. Now, I could ask any woman in this place. See, does the guy in your life ever lose his temper or lose control? And you'd automatically say, of course not. Maybe we turn it around. Has the gal in your life ever lost? You know, you gals never lose control. You're so calm when you come into church. I never see anybody lose control. Oh, okay, thank you. There's all kinds of finger pointing going on around this place.
That's because we don't do it here.
Okay, thank you. You know, you don't do it here. It's because you don't do it here. This is a holy place. Yeah, okay.
We don't do it in God's house.
No, don't do it in God's house. Just do it in your own house. Okay, well, I'm with you. The Holy Spirit, listen, He'll always reveal to you what you're doing, why you're doing it. He'll reveal to you what God says about it, and He'll lead you into God's truth and only God's truth. Now, let me make this point. Under no circumstances, you really don't need this, but this is really important to people who are thinking about getting involved in a relationship, going to get married. This is one, and I don't know how many times I've had to stress, but I give it here. Under no circumstances Will the Holy Spirit ever alter God's truth because you want something else? You ever want him to? You ever met someone back in your life and you just were telling God this is the right one, but you didn't have that solid peace down in your heart and you knew better? And you wanted God to change his mind and tell you that it was okay? Or you've bought that car, it was much too expensive, the payments are too high, or whatever it is, and you knew deep down, but you were wanting God to change his mind. Change your truth. I have a message I'm going to bring about not being teamed up with unbelievers. That's a message God has me working on now. I don't know when it'll come, but it's coming. Maybe next week, week after, but I think it'll be soon. Soon as it's where God has me feeling comfortable that, okay, you've got what I want you to put down and that's going to bring. How many people have gotten involved with someone that is an unbeliever, teamed up in business, or married them, or whatever it is, or just trying to be friends, and you go to their parties, and you join them because you want to be accepted and be included with the club, and whatever. And you knew in your heart, every time you're there, that you're compromising to be there. And you want God to accept it, and God's not going to. God will not change his truth to accommodate what we want. That sounds awful, doesn't it? Sounds hard. But I'm getting into another mess, so I don't want to do that. Under no circumstances will he ever alter God's truth because you want him to. You want something else. The Holy Spirit is all about Jesus Christ. And then we work into, and I didn't put it up here, and I don't know why. I just don't know why I didn't give you this other passage. You know, I know why. Because my humanity must have just... People came pouring in my house. And you see all these excuses. You mean to make some more? I have a dozen of them. Anyway, the truth is, I forgot to give it to Ed. So write down James 3:13. It's right here. I've got it. And I underlined it to send it to Ed when I sent this other. And did I do it? No. No. So I'll give it to you because it's necessary. It's the second part of this message. It says, who is wise, James 3:13, who is wise and understanding among you? Everybody hearing that? Let them show it by their good life. By deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So that's the Holy Spirit, wisdom and understanding. It's a vital part of this message. And how do you leave out a vital passage? I don't know. But I did. So if you're looking at it, or if it, you know, who is wise and understanding among you, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So now, injected in this Holy Spirit, this whole thing with the Holy Spirit, we have to have wisdom and understanding. How come those are addendums to the Holy Spirit? They don't replace him. What I'm saying is they're add-ons. So the Holy Spirit does his part, and then God, through the Holy Spirit, gives you wisdom and understanding and wants you to live it practically in your life. In other words, he's saying the Holy Spirit's going to convict you and do all this and teach you and coach you, but I'm going to give you wisdom. That's why James said, pray, whoever prays for wisdom, don't doubt, and God will give it to you. Why? Because God wants you to have, with the Holy Spirit, wisdom to know how to do things in everyday life. You can call it common sense if you want to, but it goes beyond common sense. It's a Spirit-led wisdom, a Spirit-led understanding. And this is the part I thought, oh, this is tough. You know, to live in the... Let's talk about wisdom and understanding. Let me, first of all, give you what they really mean in the Greek. The word understanding, let's start with that, okay? The word understanding, it comes from the word sunemi, and it means to bring or set together what is perceived. So a person with spiritual understanding is able to bring together, to set together what is perceived. And what it says, a person with understanding is able to say, I hear what you're saying, and I can, and then connect A, B with E, F, G, and say, I hear what you're not saying too. And that's an understanding person is able to see the picture that another person sees in fragments. You with me? You're saying, I hear you, your words, but I also can put together that there's more to this story. There's more people involved. There's this and this and this, and that's wisdom and understanding working together. Wisdom comes from the word Greek Sophia. If you anybody named Sophia, that means wisdom. You're wise, or that somebody hoped you would be. Wisdom means insight into the true nature of things. How about that? It also has another meaning as a double intendering. It says insight in the true nature of things and to view modes of action with a view to their outcome. So the person with understanding can connect the dots, and the person with wisdom can say, uh-huh, and I see what all this, and I know where this is headed. The outcome of this looks good here, but what's the scripture say? There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is what? Death. And wisdom sees, oh, you're trying to do this, this, and this, but the end of this is definitely going to end in a bad way. God says, pray for that type of wisdom, spiritual wisdom, so that you can take not what's being presented at the moment, but how it's going to look a week from now, a month from now, 3 years from now. That's the wisdom we're really praying for, is that I can see the end result of my actions, not just at the present moment. Everybody with this? Because this, I just thought, this is too classroom-ish. And it's like, bring it anyway. You ever had God do that to you? When you're arguing with God, saying this is kind of deep, this is classroom stuff, and it's like, yeah, thank you, so get over yourself. This is my message. That's what I want. And I want to say this to you. When you exercise the Spirit's filling and understanding with wisdom, not everybody's going to like it. And so the reason that a lot of people don't pursue the course of praying for, really praying for and seeking understanding and wisdom, is that they know that a lot of folks, some of their friends might reject them, because you're going to have to say lovingly, I hear what you're putting together and you've got this big plan to do this, but the outcome of this is going to be, And they don't want to hear. How many people want to see 3 days from now, a week from now, or 3 years from now? They just want the satisfaction, fulfillment of the moment. Do they not? And the wise person, the understanding person, connects the dots and then says, I see how this is going to end. How many people do you think would still like you in the group you run around with or you associate with right now? But that's what God wants you to have. And everyone in this room can have that type of understanding, this type of wisdom, because James says to pray for it. And God give you understanding and wisdom with the power of the Holy Spirit. That makes you the most powerful person walking. You realize that? You know what the caution is on with a person that when you develop this? And I'll give it to you. Don't judge. When you can see the outcome and when you can connect the dots, don't look down on other people. Don't judge them. Because this is a tremendous blessing of the Lord, and it must be held very sacred and with a lot of humility. But God wants to give it to you. This is powerful stuff. The more I looked at it and I thought, sure, that's what it is. The Holy Spirit's teaching me the Word of God and all this, but then wisdom and understanding helps me apply it practically. It helps me look at life and others and self with reality. It sees life as it is, not like I want it to be. Friends, are you looking at the people in your life like they are or like you want to see them? Are you looking at people in general like they really are or like you want them to be? We wouldn't be in the messes we're in this country if we quit looking at people for what we want them to be and look at them for what they are. We wouldn't have the messes, would we? We look with a prejudiced view and say, from my political party, whatever, this person represents my party. Christians, listen to me. I have far too many Christians saying, you know, I know I'm a Christian, but I've got to, because they belong to. No, you vote when you vote, when you do, when you work with this in any realm, you work with it according to what the Word of God says, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the truth He's revealing, and the understanding and wisdom that God gives, and I don't care what party it is. You do it, and you live your life, and you vote for people, whatever it is, according to what the Word of God says. Now, sometimes you got people doing stuff. This is not a political message. I just thought it. This is just part of it, just a piece to say. You got people running, and you say neither one of them look very good. Well, which one is going to be the closest with wisdom and understanding to this? It don't make a difference to the party. Everybody with me? This has got to stop. Too many Christians are compromising their faith, standing on other ground. I don't care. Well, I even heard some people say about one candidate a long time, as a while back, I just like the way he talks. There was one that was just so, I don't know what it was, but just talked so smooth. And it's like, go and talk to Eve. Why don't you go back to the Garden of Eden? And she just liked the way that the serpent talked to her. And what was the outcome of that? He was a smooth talker. And he talked her right out of the garden. Stole everything she had. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Anyway, okay. Let's go back to this. Wisdom, common sense. Well, let's don't say common sense. Let's say wisdom and understanding with the power of the Holy Spirit helps you not talk, not just talk, but to live it. To live the life God put you here to live. You don't just say you believe in Jesus. You're bearing the fruit. I would say to anyone, you know, and I know, someone looking at a potential mate for their life, and they say that I love you, I would tell them all to say, really? You say you love me? Show me the fruit. Let's see the fruit. Are you living it? You say you're trustworthy? Show the fruit. You say I can put my confidence and trust in you? Show the fruit. Let me look at your background. Show the fruit. Love is shown by its actions. Faith by its work. Let me close this up. Yes, it's time to close it up. There's an aroma drifting. And this is intense. So let me give you these practical insights on all this, putting it together. When you put wisdom and understanding under the influence and the power of the filling of the Holy Spirit, teaching you and encouraging you, doing all He does, and then you put these with it, then it teaches you how to be a real friend, how to act like a friend of God and a friend of people. It teaches you about loyalty and defending and protecting, loving and faithfulness and keeping your word. Do you hear that? Keeping your word. Christians, you are your word. As a person of God, a child of God, keep your word. And if you can't, make sure quickly you let people know and you do what you need to do about it. It says, you love me, are you willing to give yourself for me? You bring me gifts, do you bring me your heart? I'm showing this is a practical application of what wisdom and understanding with the Holy Spirit does. You see, people can buy us with gifts. They can flatter us with gifts. But the question that wisdom and understanding says, thank you for this gift. But does your heart come with it? See, God gave you a gift. He gave you the gift of Jesus Christ. And He gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And His heart went with it. His heart's in it. And when you have the Holy Spirit working with this wisdom and pray for this wisdom, ask God, James says, ask for it. God will give it an understanding. You'll be able to look through these things, seeing the end result. You bring me this gift. Are you bringing me your heart? It says if they're selfish now, they'll be selfish later. They'll be a tyrant later. And it says, is what they say the way they live? Listen, nobody's perfect. But are they consistent? You're not perfect, but are you consistent? And the filling of the Holy Spirit with wisdom and understanding will make you the most consistent person in the world. I'll take one who tries over one who talks any day, won't you? So the Holy Spirit, wisdom and understanding, helps you to understand God made the world. God made you. Jesus Christ loves you, died for you, rose from the dead for you, and is at God's right hand interceding for you. He is supporting you. He is encouraging you. He is protecting you. He is providing for you. The Holy Spirit, wisdom, and common sense say Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. The Holy Spirit, wisdom, and common sense says, man, I am living now on the high road. I'm on the high road with God. I'm in fellowship. I'm not perfect, but I'm consistent. I have understanding. I can connect the dots. God has given you a priceless gift in Jesus Christ, and He gives you the Holy Spirit and wisdom and understanding with it. Now let it come into your life. Ask God for it. Pray for it. Study and let it make your mind and heart a fertile ground for God to grow His crop, His harvest. And in the end, you know what's going to be the end result of this? You follow this, it's laid out here today. One day God's going to look at you and He will say to you, with love in His heart, job well done, my good and faithful servant. Father, we thank You for the meat of the Word, for the fruit of the Word. God, thank You, You're here today. Your will is being done. Your Word is being taught. And now, God, we thank You that we have spiritual food. We step across and we have physical food. We have nourishment in every form. We have fellowship with You and with each other. We have joy and kindness and goodness. We have all Your love. What else could we ask for? We thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for Your spiritual anointing. We thank You for the food we're about to receive. And all, we thank You and give You honor and glory. Your holy will be done, because we want to be Your good and faithful servants in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.